Entertainment news for you.
Brought to you by
All Pro Foundation Repair.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave.
And because it is Thursday,
what's up, Dave?
We are joined by our rant friend, Gordon Keith.
Yay!
Yeah, this is a very anticipated rant revival for me, and I know Bob too.
Yes.
Well, I think for all of us.
The day has arrived, Gordon.
Yes, the day of reckoning. We're going to finally answer to our crimes. And speaking of answering, are you going to answer the call to be on Twitch tonight?
Yes, 7:35 tonight. It's going to be an epic Twitch stream. An epic one. 7:35 p.m.
We've been
Twitch.tv/actualGordonKeith.
Are you going to raise money for Monty's new chair?
He broke his chair, Gordon.
His wheelchair or just a regular chair?
No, his wheelchair.
Not the big wheels. One of the small wheels fell off today.
Unfortunately.
He had to leave work early.
Justin. Oh, no.
Let's get him the best chair money can buy.
Yeah.
He's stumping.
Maybe you can get him the same kind of electric model that Marge uses.
I do have an extra, like, motorized scooter, but I know that Monty seems to prefer analog chairs for some reason.
Probably for comfort.
Are the other ones not as comfortable?
Well, I don't think a scooter is that comfortable. Just guessing.
Really?
I don't know.
Maybe we need to pimp that ride.
Yeah.
With a scooter, but the comfort of a wheelchair.
Yeah, let's get him one of those. I always see them at like, you know, thrift stores and stuff like that. The motorized chair that you can work with your teeth, you know?
We can take the governor off that thing.
Just don't know if he needs to be doing that.
Yeah, maybe not. Okay, notable death. We begin E! News with the death of hip-hop pioneer Afrika Bambaataa.
Oh, wow.
Who has passed away at the age of 67.
Ooh,
no way.
Yeah. So he was born in the Bronx, and he was in a local gang and rose to the position of warlord of the Black Spades.
Mm.
And so then, as the leader of the Black Spades in the 70s, he started hosting parties. And these became huge block parties in the South Bronx. And that's kind of where hip hop started, is that they would, you know, play these loops, these beats, and people would get on the mic and, you know, freestyle, whatever. And that was part of the entertainment at these block parties. And then in 1980, he released his first single called Zulu Nation Throwdown. And then 1982, his track Planet Rock went to number 4 on the R&B chart in the U.S.
That one sampled in everything. Like
Planet Rock?
Yes. That is, so Public Enemies Fight the Power has a sample right from, like, Afrika Bambaataa matters.
Yeah,
like
sure.
If you ask Skin about him, he would press you up against the wall and say, look, man.
Well, don't defend him too heartily, because towards the end of his life, he had a number of legal issues. Mm. Multiple men accused him of sexual abuse in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, no.
Whoops. Interesting. So this is what Bob's defending. Okay.
And in 2025, he was...
First 9/11 now.
He was forced to pay a settlement to a man who accused Afrika Bambaataa of sex trafficking him in the 90s, because Afrika Bambaataa didn't show up to court, and the judge issued a default judgment.
Mm. Way to go, Bob.
So...
sex crimes. By saying he was heavily sampled by hip-hop does not in any way suggest we're defending his actions as a...
sex trafficker?
Naughty
of
man
men?
Later in life.
Okay. Here goes Bob's separate the art from the artist speech. Okay.
Uh-huh. Like Patrick Reed.
Yeah. Speaking of sex crimes, Diddy had a day in court today.
Oh, he's back?
Well, these are appeal...
Wait, I've already forgotten. What's his story now? Like, he's doing 20 months or something, or what was it?
Okay, so.
You haven't heard about the Diddy stuff?
No, well, I forgot the sentencing.
He was convicted under the.
He also missed the 2016 Ryder Cup.
He was convicted under the Mann Act, which prohibits the transportation of prostitutes across state lines to engage in sex acts. Yeah, I said that.
Oh.
Thank you for confirming what I just said.
All right.
And so he was sentenced to 50 months.
Yes, as I just said.
He's served 19 months so far, but his legal team, they have two arguments. One is that that 50-month sentence is excessive and that he's already served 19 months and the typical sentence for a similar conviction is 15 months. So he should already be out, according to their arguments. And then their second argument is that the Mann Act doesn't really apply in this case. They say that freak-offs and hotel nights were highly choreographed sexual performances involving costumes, role play, and staged lighting, which were filmed so Diddy and his girlfriends could watch his amateur porn later, and that porn production and viewing is protected by the First Amendment and cannot be prosecuted.
So what's he aiming for here?
He wants to be immediately let out of jail.
Like right now?
Yes. Yeah.
Using that angle.
Yeah.
So I was making porn, but it wasn't real porn.
No, it was real porn, but it wasn't prostitution.
It was just for
private use. Okay.
It wasn't prostitution. That's the gray area. If you film it and you distribute it, then it falls under pornography and not prostitution. So that's a tip out there for you kids.
If you're just getting into the game.
Yeah, if you want to hook up with hot chicks, just film it. So yeah,
Bob taking notes.
They are
leave me out of this.
They are hoping for an immediate release, and I guess maybe a judgment will come down on that tomorrow. You remember the name Natasha Lyonne?
Oh yeah, she was the show.
Why
that,
would I
the Craig
forget
likes.
It? She's still famous.
Yeah. So she
Poker Face, right?
Yeah, she was on Poker Face, and so she also. She attended the Euphoria season 3 premiere in LA the other night. By the way, I'm hearing very mixed reviews on Euphoria season 3.
I never saw it. It always made me too uncomfortable knowing that.
Right. I never watched it, but they do a big time jump before season 3.
They're all adulty now.
Yeah. And evidently it's kind of a hot mess. But anyway, so she goes to the Euphoria season premiere. And she wears a very revealing outfit, like a mesh top that shows her saggers.
All right. They're breasts, Dave.
And then.
We all have them.
She.
Boobs.
She goes straight from the premiere to the airport because she is going to take a red eye to go to New York to appear on the Drew Barrymore show.
Okay.
And according to TMZ, there are eyewitness reports that say that she seemed out of it. She was wearing the same outfit that she wore to the premiere. She was wearing sunglasses, and she seemed out of it, sitting in first class, and she repeatedly didn't respond to flight attendants who were asking her to close her laptop and fasten her seatbelt for takeoff.
Mm.
And so the plane had already departed the gate and was taxiing, and they went back to the gate and kicked her off.
Oh, wow. And she is well-known drug issues.
Yeah, well, so she...
Very open about it, right?
Yeah, so she recently talked about having a relapse, that she had been sober for quite some time, and then she just relapsed, and she was public about admitting to her relapse and talking about how she wants to remain sober.
And a relapse for her is not like a Bud Light and one puff off a joint. Yeah.
So people are concerned that she is backsliding. So she did post on X today. She said, "My heart is with all the unpaid TSA agents at our airports. Sure was looking forward to speaking honestly with Drew Barrymore yesterday, but I guess that wasn't in the cards. Who owns Page Six in the New York Post now again?" So I guess she's taking shots at them for dragging her. Maybe she was just sleepy.
But she had the same outfit on.
Well, I think she went straight from because it was a red eye.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't like the next day.
Yeah.
Like
she's
she
doing
was
the walk
a bender
shame.
All night. So yeah, who knows if she really was out of it or just tired? But She was, in fact, kicked off the floor.
I remember listening to y'all's show, Gordon, and Craig brought in a cut from Poker Face in which Natasha Lyonne and somebody else were in a bathroom together, and one of the girls farted and goes, yeah, that's what's up in these places. And it made you very uncomfortable.
It's so, yes. It's just so wrong. You know, she was with Fred Armisen for quite some time.
Really? Was she really?
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Fred. You make me laugh so much.
Do you think Fred's been with some really interesting women?
Yeah.
Like real artsy and edgy and... Yeah.
Didn't Elizabeth Moss say that he was weird?
Yes. Yeah. They were married, weren't they?
They were?
I think they... Or maybe they just were engaged.
Of course Fred Armisen is weird.
Yeah. What do you think? Okay,
genius, though.
He's the funniest person ever.
We have explosive audio to get to next, but last thing for E! News is an update on the relationship of Nikki Glaser.
Wow, he was married to Elizabeth Moss for 2 years.
See? Never knew that.
Told you. That's crazy.
So Nikki Glaser has a longtime on-again, off-again boyfriend named Chris Convy. He is like a TV producer of some kind. And so she was just on the Call Her Daddy podcast. Nikki Glaser was, and she talked about the fact that she likes it when her boyfriend hooks up with other chicks. So she says, it's not a two-way street. I'm not someone who likes to hook up when I'm in a relationship, but I don't care if someone else were to. In fact, I kind of like it. So she says when they first got together, she would always ask him about his past girlfriends and hookups and get the details, and it would be like foreplay to her. She would get revved up thinking about him with other people.
Yeah.
And so
in her spank bank.
Yeah. And so she said that she got bored after she heard all of his stories. So she said, go get some more. I want a guy that other girls want.
Can you imagine some girl telling you this?
He's
kind of a cuck. And then don't you think that's a test?
Well, and so she said, these are the rules. She says that Convy must explain their arrangement to the other women, saying, hey, I'm with this girl, but she gives me permission to do this. And he has to refrain from kissing them, like Pretty Woman, no kissing and no emotional connection, just sex. So not an emotional affair, just transactional hooking up. And
but
she says,
kiss them elsewhere.
Sure. But she says if a guy has a sexual connection with a girl and he was to use protection and just have sex for a night, I wouldn't care if my husband did that.
Because she gets turned on by him describing that to her?
Yes.
Oh, my
God.
And just the fact that he's still got it and that other people want him.
Okay, that he's desired.
Yeah, he's desired, makes her desire him more.
Wow.
Do we fully understand the logic of, no kissing?
No.
But this other part is just fine.
Right.
Yeah, you can put your mouth on every other part, just not their face.
You have to draw a line somewhere, Bob.
I'm not that sure I understand that line.
That reminds me of our old...
Chicks love the sex.
Our old rant hypothetical, the beekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
So you had the choice. Your significant other is going to hook up with your best friend. And your two options are she's wearing a full beekeeper outfit with just a hole cut out, and it's very bam, 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 they're done.
Yeah.
I'm an amateur beekeeper.
Or she just performs an act of admiration, but she's really into it. Which would you prefer?
Yeah, looks
so
like
we've all answered it except for Bob.
Well, I you know, I just, in the interest of keeping us on time, though, we should probably get to our big audio segment.
All right, so next, explosive audio and Bob's answer to the beekeeper hypothetical.
The ticket.
It is 519. It is the ticket. It is Thursday. That means it's the Rant Revival. And boy, oh boy, do we've got a good one here. Starring your three members of the Rant, Gen X Davey, Corby Davidson, and the one and only...
Look at that. Nailed it.
Yes.
Brought to you by...
Pizzi's Market and Bakery, and American Leak Detection.
And what a treat we have today, guys.
All right, what was your answer, Bob? Beekeeper?
Just say beekeeper and we can move
beekeeper.
On.
Beekeeper, let's move on.
All right, so Gordon, you walk us through this because this is something that you just recently acquired and you need to be the one to set this up too because it'll take a second.
Okay, so this is something I did not recently acquire. It's something I recently rediscovered. And I texted Bob about this.
Yes.
I don't know. What is it? A few weeks ago, Bob?
A few weeks ago, I was at a campfire in Big Bend when I received your text.
And I said, hey, you won't believe what I found. Because Bob and I have talked about this over the years. And Bob always got a kick out of when Norm took to the airwaves when he was on a different station and went on a rant about the rant.
Yes.
He was very offended because he tuned in over the weekend. And it happened to be the weekend after John F. Kennedy Jr.'s plane had crashed.
No, it was the day of. The day after. Because he crashed on a Friday night, and this was Saturday morning.
I believe he just said that.
No, he's...
Yes.
Well, he said he tuned in after... I misunderstood what
July
you said.
Of 1999.
Okay.
Yes.
And
so,
how topical is this now with that TV show doing as well as it is, too?
Yeah.
That thing is a monster.
And you know, they just...
That's the tie-in.
Yeah, they just had the finale. And I did... My wife has watched it, and I did see the dramatization of the plane crash as they're flying to Martha's Vineyard... for a cousin's wedding or something, and he is in the plane, flying the plane with Carolyn Bessette and her sister, and they all of a sudden run into fog, and he is not instrument trained, and he gets all turned around and basically flies straight into the ocean.
And they all three died, and it was a very sad story. It happens on a Friday evening, I believe, and then they're searching for the plane, and of course, the next morning is Saturday morning, time for the rant, and that's when we were on. And we were trying to cover the story the best we could.
Yes.
I mean, we were really working hard to cover it the proper way.
Checking
sources.
But Davey
couldn't handle it. Davey did not do well with the story.
Well, we were speculating. It was all of us. Like, could he have, at the time, know
where the plane crashed.
Could he have jumped out and saved himself? Before the impact.
So we really had no idea.
I remember.
No, we didn't know. Well, they had a pretty good idea that the plane had crashed because they couldn't find it. It disappeared off radar, and they have no idea where it is. It must
coast
be somewhere
of
in the
head.
Ocean. Or did it crash on land? They did kind of triangulate it to an area known as Gay Head.
Yes.
Which is...
And I remember listening, thinking... I need to get to some news sources here so I can understand the story better. So I turned on the rant.
Right. Good for you.
And that really helped
well,
me.
Well, so did Norm, yeah. Unfortunately. Norm tunes into the rant and he didn't like the coverage.
Yay.
And in particular, he was offended by a line from Gen X Davey Lane.
Once again.
Who, when we were talking about...
The Steph Curry of the rant.
Was...
Logo
was
threes.
It possible for JFK, if he was sailing towards the earth and it was on land, could he have jumped out at the last second and would that have saved him had he jumped out? Davey was wondering if that was possible because Davey grew up on cartoons in the orphanage.
And he was young then, too. This is 26 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't have life experience.
And I explained, no, the momentum would unfortunately kill JFK Jr. and probably shoot his shin bones up through his knees because he's traveling at the same speed as the plane.
Yes.
And then, Davey, you speculated what? You asked what question?
Do I have to say it?
I
wondered if you gave the detail that his shins fired up through his kneecaps, and I wondered if he... was then compressed down to the same size he was when he saluted his daddy's casket.
Okay.
Oh, my.
And even I thought that Davey went way too far. I was talking medical stuff. Davey went there.
Medical stuff.
Medical.
And we moved on from the story after that. But I want to say up front that we were wrong. Certainly Davey was wrong.
It was a different time, but we were wrong then and wrong now.
Yes.
So both can be true.
And beekeeper.
So at the time, Norm didn't even work for the ticket yet. He was on a competing station,
but
working against us.
But ironically enough, would be on the ticket within 4 months.
Yeah, that made for a very awkward handoff because he was our competitor. He was on at the same time we were in the morning, so we were battling head-to-head with Norm.
And then you had to crosstalk with him all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was awkward because, and this was fresh on my mind, because he went on the air the Monday after the JFK Jr. crash. And he had, he basically issued an open letter to management that I needed to be fired.
Oh, no.
Because what he heard over the weekend on the ticket, which was a sister station to his station at the time, KLIF, he heard this over there and he called on his boss and my boss.
Yes.
To fire me.
Same ownership, same management, different radio station.
Yes. The same people that decided they wanted Norm on the air were the same people that decided they wanted me on the air.
Correct.
And he couldn't stand that. So I didn't catch all of this. I only was able to roll tape on it after he had started up. So he had already issued his demands that this person on the weekend should be fired. I call on him to be fired. He had already said all of that part.
Okay.
Okay. So all I was able to capture was afterwards when he's talking about me and my little crew of merry pranksters and how they just like to sit back and say shocking things and giggle.
The password.
So what you're going to hear in this audio
giggle
is vintage Norm and Leon. Okay, that was Norm's co-host, was Leon Simon,
yes,
another legend. And they did a show together, so you're going to get to hear some Norm lip smacks, those sincerity smacks that he gives, some very sensitive he's going to do some of those.
Okay.
You're going to get some beautiful, intricate Norm high horsing. You're going to get a Humble Billy Hayes promo, and then you'll get a confusing Norm doing a Bob's Steak and Chop House live read in a very confusing way.
Perfect.
Then you're going to get the confusing Norm-esque phrase, this one, it was a definite ongoing.
Wow.
And
that's a lot.
You're also going to get a caller telling Norm that he is as guilty as the rant because he's wasting time high-horsing around instead of talking about better things. And then finally, Bob, you'll enjoy this. You're going to get the origin of the Norm phrasing of who does.
Yes. All right,
so here it is, a total treat for everyone. A couple of DFW broadcasting legends, Norm and Leon, before the turn of the new millennium.
They then can sit and giggle, hon. Oh, I heard him say that. Is that really what you want to pay for? Is that what an advertiser wants to pay for? Is that what you want your children listening to? And I...
Some of the things that I hear, Norm, you know, and I hear people mention that come from certain stations, you would think that a talk show host would carry himself in a manner that if his youngest daughter or his youngest son or his grandson, youngest daughter or his son or his granddaughter was listening, they could hear what he's talking about. Intelligent discussion.
Can you pause it right there?
Was that edited?
Gordon, did you edit something to that?
Can we please just listen to this? It's very sensitive.
None of us had kids back then. We were all just idiot 25-year-olds.
We got to go. We're so late. Okay. We got to play.
Okay.
You know, and I hear people mention that come from certain stations. You would think that a talk show host would carry himself in a manner that if his youngest daughter or his youngest son or his grandson, youngest daughter or his son or his granddaughter was listening, they could hear what he's talking about. Intelligent discussion, regardless of how far your opinion is down the spectrum from mine, if it's intelligent discussion, I realize you are intelligent enough to have basis for everything you say. But when you start getting into that garbage and stuff, you know, but then that's why the Inquirer sell more than Wall Street Journal.
Well, Leon, I agree with you. And, we all know, I know several of the people who work over there. And those people, I'll bet, are just as ashamed as I am this morning.
Oh, no.
Because there are some people over there who know that line was crossed, and there are some people over there with young children. And I wonder how they would feel if they, like a caller of ours this morning, popped out in the radio to go to the soccer game that morning, and their 9-year-old son or daughter or son or daughter heard that.
How many of them would sit in the living room and let their kids sit in there and hear them discuss things like that?
I agree. Kids, it's time for you to go now would be the statement. It's 646. This is 570 Cliff.
In case you didn't catch Humble Billy Hayes on Friday, here's some of what you missed.
Bob Young is Mr. Mom.
Catch Humble Billy Hayes today, 9 to noon on 570 Cliff.
No, it's just $2 a week. I spend it on baseball cards. My dad says it's a good housing lender.
Save 5% at leadingwebmerbanbank.com.
I went to another restaurant the other night, besides Bob's Steak and Chop House. Was invited out and met some folks. And at the end of the evening, I wonder if you experienced what I experienced. The check arrived, and I thought, I'm not sure that meal was worth that much. But do you ever experience, Leon, buyer's remorse for meals?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And buyer's remorse can come if the check's $8 or if the check's $200.
Right.
Yeah, either way, you can say, man, this wasn't worth it. I thought this was a nice restaurant, and the food was good, and the service was okay and everything. But at the end, you look at the total bill and you say, did I get X amount tonight? There's a whole bunch more to a dining experience besides the food. But there's something else. There's a bottom line when you walk out and you say, Bob's Steak and Chop House, Lemon and Wycliffe.
Not just politics, not just news, but a better variety of talk. 570 Cliff.
Leon Simon, Norm Hitzkus on 570 Cliff.
Talking about how the various media handled the... See, here's where we often say, Leon, this is a newspaper story. This wasn't a newspaper story.
Right.
This is definitely a radio TV story.
Mm-hmm.
Often you get stories with a lot of agate or numbers in them that almost have to be newspaper stories. But this one was a definite ongoing. It reminded me of Princess Diana. It reminded me of the O.J. chase.
Right.
Where you stay with it. Where the newspapers are totally at the mercy of an ongoing situation.
Yeah, but you stay with it because something could develop at any time. That's why the coverage was so extensive.
All right, I'll pause it right there. So, again, talking about the crash from JFK Jr. and Caroline Bessette by Martha's Vineyard. But I'm having a hard time remembering exactly what they're talking about as far as the coverage goes.
Yeah, Leon's going to comment on this about how, and I think he does it in an insensitive way. Why he's saying, you know, they have to go to press and then they're going to pull the, then while they, after they've gone to press, they're going to pull the plane out of the water or drag it out of the water, whatever he says.
Okay.
It was so extensive. You don't know, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you pull away and then they pull the plane out of the water.
Yeah. And at any moment, the newspaper must publish realizing that when you go to press at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, they've stopped there.
Right.
And by the time the newspaper hits the door the next morning, the story have changed dramatically.
Everybody
this
in America
is before the internet.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And Fox made the decision to stay with a lot of their programming on Saturday rather than cut away as the other networks did. That's everyone's individual decision. Calvin Hughes from Channel 5 telling us this morning, a decision like that costs NBC millions of dollars to dump advertisers. David Carphone, caller morning on 570 Cliff.
Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
Okay.
Fine, Dave.
I just wanted to make a comment by bringing it up and talking about how bad your sister station is. I think you're only doing the same thing they were doing. Rather than talking about something good, you could be talking about.
But if we don't talk about that, David, who does? Who does?
But you're still doing the same thing. That's what's getting your response that you're looking for is just bringing it back up.
But David, if people don't discuss things to try to change them, who does?
Okay.
I really think should
pause it here.
Mark.
Right.
You get the old Dracula Norm there.
Is he bringing all this up? Is he bringing up the rant and the way that we handled it because specifically he wants you fired, Gordon?
Yes.
Like, is that what this all is about?
Possibly, yes.
Wow.
Yes, at the time, he just kind of, he made a composite character of all of us, and that became me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know who Corby and Dave are.
Right. Right.
He would find
but
out
this
later.
Is, he's doing this in Morning Keith Drive, show. Talking about the Saturday morning show in Morning Drive on Monday.
On a sports station, like a hardcore sports show.
Yeah.
Well, it was a news talk station, but they were a sports show, yes.
As I
this
say,
so
though.
So confusing.
I know. To his listeners, it may have been confusing. But he was kind of right. And I remember in the conflict that we had when we first handed off to him after he joined the ticket team, like 4 months after this, you know, we kind of had the whole argument all over again. And I remember at one point he says, you know, I just don't see what's so funny about John F. Kennedy Jr. dying. And I remember I just stopped because I was like, yeah, well, that is kind of a good point. I really don't have anything to say to that. And I just had to concede, yeah. You know, I mean, he made some good points.
Yeah.
Gallows humor. It was good, though, that we confronted it in the very first crosstalk. We confronted the whole conflict. And
that was the first, you literally did that the very first show?
I feel like they did, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The first time we handed off to him.
I might be off by a year. Maybe he came down.
I think it was a year later.
A year later instead of 4 months later. But I remember it was. Chan Gailey,
but we had the
playoff.
I guarantee you, we had the confrontation though. The very first day, we addressed the historic tension between Norm and me, and Norm and our show and our station.
And because also you had the Norm and Andy Panda thing going on at the same time.
Yeah, right? And I don't remember. I've been called in several times to upper management to be yelled at for certain things. I don't ever remember you. Gordon, Dave, me, anybody even being talked to about what went on.
At the time, no.
At the time.
Uh-uh.
At all.
No.
Like, were we told to apologize? Or I don't remember.
Because, I was starting to say that Gallo's humor was table stakes for the rant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially if it was somebody who was a celebrity.
But who
right.
does?
We had not quite grown our compassion organs.
No,
our
frontal lobes were not developed.
No, which I've said for years about you guys, and specifically you're handling a bun pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he wasn't a celebrity, and that was equally bad.
And that was wrong.
And where did you find this audio?
Is there anything else that we need to make sure we get in? Because we're so late.
No, you've heard the meat of it, and that's...
Yes.
I'm doing it to expose myself for saying that I messed up.
Very
and
vulnerable.
I'm very proud and thankful that Norm called me on it, and I'm thankful that Norm joined the ticket team, and we went on to have a fine relationship and a fine friendship.
We all learned a valuable lesson that day.
We did.
We did.
Except for me.
We did.
And that is to keep the tape.
Right.
Yes, always keep the tape and always just sit back and just giggle.
Just giggle. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tonight, Twitch.
Twitch tonight, 7:35, twitch.tv/actualgordonkeith. We're going to check in on Monty and his chair.
Good. All right, bud. Love you. We'll see you. There he goes.
Love you.
Thanks, Gordon.